The chicken. I mean, when you think about it, Gallus domesticus is probably the single most important source of animal protein on the entire planet.
It really is. And while we tend to focus on those huge, fast-growing commercial breeds.
Right, the ones you see in every supermarket.
Exactly. But today, we're going deep on something just as crucial, maybe more so in some ways, Nigeria's indigenous chickens.
A huge and often overlooked genetic resource.
Immensely valuable. These aren't just livestock for them. They're, you know, these fundamental pillars of the rural economy. They provide income, nutrition.
And people just prefer them, right? The flavor is supposed to be much better.
It is. Consumers love them for their flavor, their texture, their robust birds. But there's the trade-off.
And that's productivity. These indigenous birds, specifically the one we're looking at today, the normal feather chicken, they're slow growers.
Much slower. They're smaller. They take way longer to get to market weight. And that's why they're seen as this sort of underutilized resource. We need to figure out why.
Exactly. If you want to improve them, you can't just throw out everything that makes them special, like their resilience. You have to go deeper.
You have to find the root cause. And that cause, especially the growth difference between males and females, what we call sexual dimorphism, it all comes down to genes, specifically how those genes are expressed differently.
Okay, so that's our mission for this deep dive. We're unpacking a study that hunted for the molecular switches behind this. They focused on the somatotropic axis.
The body's master growth control system.
And in that system, we're tracking three key genes, growth hormone, or GH, then pituitary-specific transcription factor, PIT, and finally, insulin-like growth factor 1, IGF-1.
And we're looking at them across three totally different tissues, the brain, the liver, and the muscle itself.
We're basically trying to read the instruction manual that tells a male bird to get big and a female bird to, well, do something else entirely.
Prepare for reproduction, maybe, or just conserve energy. It's a different strategy.
So let's lay the groundwork on this somatotropic axis. It sounds complicated, but it's really just a signaling system, right?
Yeah.
A cascade where these three players work together.
That's the core of it. Think of GH, the growth hormone, as the initiator. It's this potent promoter of growth and differentiation. It can act directly on tissues, but its biggest effect is indirect.
Through a messenger.
Right, which brings us to IGF-1.
The mediator, the workhorse of the system, it sounds like.
It is. It's the crucial middleman. Insulin-like growth factor 1 is what actually carries out most of GH's growth orders. In chickens, you see more IGF-1, you see faster growth.
And the liver is key here.
The liver is the main factory.
Right.
It's responsible for pumping out most of the circulating IGF-1 that gets into the bloodstream.
Okay, so GH gives the orders, IGF-1 does the building, but something has to turn the whole thing on, the master key. That would be PIT-1.
Precisely. PIT-1 is the fundamental upstream regulator. It's a transcription factor, and its whole job is to bind to the GH gene and make sure it gets expressed. No PIT-1, no growth system, it's that essential.
And this is so important because we know how this works in commercial broilers. They've been bred for this. But for these slow-growing Nigerian chickens,
it's a molecular mystery. Their whole growth strategy is different. It's more nuanced. And until now, we haven't had the data.
So any breeding program is essentially just flying blind.
Totally. You have to understand the molecular blueprint first, especially how sex changes it. That's the only way to be smart about genetic improvement.
All right, let's get into the results. The study looked at 8-week-old chickens, a really critical growth phase. So what did they find? Let's start at the top. The control center in the brain, the hypothalamus.
Okay, so right away in the hypothalamus, you see this huge sex difference. It basically sets the stage for everything else.
Oh, so?
GH expression.
Yeah.
It was dramatically higher in the male hypothalamus. And PIT expression, that master switch, was also significantly higher in the males.
So from the very top, the male brain is just screaming, go, grow double.
Not louder than the females. Absolutely. The male regulatory drive is on full blast from the start. But here's the twist. The females weren't just quieter. They were doing something completely different.
Prioritizing another part of the system.
Yes. The female chickens showed significantly higher expression of IGF-1 in the hypothalamus. In fact, of all three genes they looked at in the female brain, IGF-1 was by far the highest.
Wait, hold on. So in the brain, males push the initiator GH and PIT, while females push the mediator, IGF-1.
Exactly. It's a fascinating split in strategy right at the neuroendocrine level.
What does that suggest?
It suggests IGF-1 might be doing something else in the female brain, not just growth. Maybe it's regulating metabolism or appetite or, you know, getting the whole system ready for reproductive maturity, which is a huge energy demand.
Okay, so we've got this strong male signal starting in the brain. How does the body's main factory, the liver, respond to that?
This is where the liver throws a biological curveball.
Okay.
Remember that huge male bias for GH in the hypothalamus? Well, in the liver,
yeah.
There was no significant difference in GH expression at all.
None. So the liver is just ignoring that upstream signal.
It seems to be. The levels were basically neutral between the sexes. And that complexity is what makes these indigenous birds so interesting to study.
Wow. So what about the other two genes?
That's where the differences came roaring back. We saw a really clear, highly significant difference in PIT mRNA, but with the females showing much higher expression in the liver.
The females. So the master switch is turn up higher in the female liver, even though the main GH signal is the same for both.
Yes. And on top of that, females also had significantly higher IGF-1 expression in their liver compared to the males.
So the female liver is ramping up both the transcription factor and the growth mediator, but without a stronger GH signal telling it to.
That's what the data says. It's a really interesting regulatory puzzle.
And if you just rank the genes inside the liver, what's the hierarchy?
For both sexes, PIT mRNA was the highest expressed of the three. And funnily enough, IGF-1 was the lowest expressed gene in the liver.
Even though the liver is making most of it for the rest of the body.
Right. It's a crucial insight into how these slow-growing birds manage their systems.
Okay, let's move to the finish line then. The target tissue. The breast muscle, where the growth actually happens.
And this is where that initial signal from the brain finally cashes out into physical differences. The male bias here is just, it's incredibly strong.
Let me guess, GH is higher in males.
Significantly higher.
Yeah.
And critically, PIT expression was also highly, highly elevated in the male's breast muscle.
So the male strategy is consistent. Push GH and PIT at the start in the brain and push them again at the end in the muscle.
It's a concerted effort. But what about local IGF-1 in the muscle itself?
Good question. Was that different?
No. IGF-1 was neutral again. No measurable sex difference in the breast muscle. The overall takeaway is just clear. The molecular machinery for growth is turned up way higher in the male muscle tissue.
So if we pull back and connect all these dots, what does this tell us about the core biological strategies of these male and female chickens?
It points to two very distinct approaches to life, really. The males have this clear, straightforward strategy. Higher GH and PIT in the brain to start the signal, and then higher GH and PIT in the muscle to execute it.
And that molecular story lines up perfectly with what you see on the farm. The males grow faster, they get bigger.
Exactly. And the power of PIK1 really stands out here. The fact that high GH and high PIT are found together in the male breast muscle. It reinforces its role as a key regulator. It's not just working in the pituitary gland, it seems to be driving local muscle growth too.
Okay, now let's go back to the female strategy. All that IGF-1 in the brain and liver, why would a female put her molecular energy there instead of into muscle?
It's the classic biological trade-off. That high IGF-1 signature in the female hypothalamus and liver suggests a focus that is not primarily on just getting bigger.
Right.
A female bird has to start partitioning energy away from pure muscle growth and towards the massive energetic cost of making eggs and reaching reproductive maturity. That elevated IGF-1 might be the molecular trigger for that whole metabolic shift.
Which brings us back to that big puzzle in the liver. High female IGF-1 and PIT, but no GH difference. What's going on?
This raises a really important question for poultry science. In those fast-growing commercial birds, IGF-1 production in the liver is almost always tied directly to GH.
But not here.
Not here. It suggests that in this indigenous chicken, the liver's IGF-1 production might be governed by something else entirely, not just GH.
So you're talking about maybe sex hormones like estrogen or other local factors telling the liver what to do?
Exactly. It points to a unique local control system that's adapted for a slower, more energy-efficient way of growing, which is exactly what you'd predict for a resilient local bird.
So what does all this molecular detective work mean for the farmers and breeders on the ground? What's the application?
It's actually highly practical. It points toward targeted genetic selection. Because GH and PIT are so clearly linked to the male's better muscle growth, they become excellent molecular targets.
So you could screen for them?
You could. If breeders can identify birds that naturally have higher expression of these genes, especially PIT, because it's such a master regulator, they could potentially improve muscle yield in their male lines much more quickly. And you could do it without losing the other traits that make the breed so valuable.
So this deep dive has given us some really foundational insights. It confirms that the size difference we see is rooted in a clear molecular difference, mostly driven by GH and PIT in the male.
It is. But, and this is vital for you, the learner, we have to talk about the limitations, which the researchers themselves were very clear about.
Okay, really. Absolutely. Science is all about context.
First, the sample size. It was tiny, only 4 birds per group. That limits the statistical power, and you have to be careful about generalizing these results to, you know, the entire population of these chickens.
And this study looked at the instructions, the mRNA, but not the final product, right?
That's a great way to put it. They measured the blueprint, but not the actual protein. So the next step would be to validate this, to see if more mRNA actually leads to more active GH or PIT protein in the tissues.
And finally, you have to connect it all back to the farm.
Precisely. The study didn't have functional growth data, like actual body weights or how efficiently they converted feed into muscle. So we can't draw a direct line from this gene expression profile to a specific economic trait. Not yet.
And they only looked at 3 genes in 1 type of chicken.
Right. The full genetic potential of Nigeria's indigenous chickens is probably much, much wider.
Okay, so despite those necessary scientific caveats, we have a clear molecular blueprint to guide the future. And based on everything we've discussed, here's a final thought for you to mull over. Mm. If GH and PIT expression do prove to be reliable molecular markers for muscle growth, and considering how fast genomic tools are advancing, how quickly could selective breeding really shift the productivity of this valuable indigenous chicken? And what other broader genomic approaches might we need to unlock the full genetic potential of all of Nigeria's indigenous chicken ecotypes?